Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us on Cannabis Tech Talks. Joining me today is one of the NBA's 50 greatest players of all time, Mr. Isaiah Thomas, former pro basketball player with the Detroit Pistons, coach, analyst, and executive, and also stars on NBA on TNT. Thanks for sitting down with us, Isaiah.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to speak with you. So I'm kind of surprised by the shift, but at the same time, I'm not, because a lot of people have been seeing the energy in the cannabis market. But you recently made a $3 million investment into One World Pharma, a global supplier of hemp-derived ingredients. So coming from your background in basketball, which really hasn't looked that kindly on cannabis in the past, what kind of drew you to the space and to this investment?
Really, it started out from my entrepreneurship and ownership of Chirlan Champagne, which we have 200 acres in the Aube region of Champagne. We're the largest Black-owned champagne company in the world. And when I got into the champagne space, I didn't realize that I was getting into the agricultural space. Mm. And what makes champagne so unique and why it can be called champagne is because of the sun, the soil, the climate that which it, the grapes grow in Champagne, that produces a certain acidity for the grapes in terms of the Pinot Noir grape, the Chardonnay, and the Pinot Blanc grape, which is what we use in our Champagne. Fast forward now in the cannabis space, what drew me to the cannabis space was the equatorial advantages of One World Pharma. I'm the CEO and vice chairman of One World Pharma, thus the investment into One World Pharma. We are headquartered and we're US based company and based out of Las Vegas, but we cultivate and we grow in Colombia. Now, why do we cultivate and grow in Colombia? Because of the equatorial advantages that the Colombian soil, the sun, the indigenous growers that we partner with, and you're able to produce the best cannabis, the best hemp at the lowest price. We see cannabis and I see cannabis and hemp really changing the world from a carbon standpoint, from a climate standpoint, and then understanding the endocannabinoid system that we have inside our bodies that really work well with our CB1, CB2 receptors that work well with the plant. So, you know, understanding that the business and the science really drew me to this place. And on a personal story side, as my mother got cancer, my brother got cancer, my dad had lung cancer. And it was interesting because cannabis wasn't being prescribed medically at that point in time. But all the doctors were saying, you know, if you was to smoke marijuana at that time, it would increase your appetite. So, you know, the beneficial, the storytelling and then the curiosity of, around why would doctors be saying this outside of the medical profession, but not inside the medical profession. And then, of course, in the 90s, the endocannabinoid system was kind of discovered, and it's truly changing the way we look at our bodies. The plant is truly changing the way we look at the world, and it's truly changing the way we look at the medical industry right now.
Wow, that's huge. And I can really understand how having a better understanding of what happens with champagne and wine and that understanding of the agriculture industry really played into your decision to invest in a company that's working out of Colombia, because yeah, they're super lauded for their soil quality. So that's awesome to hear that you're so involved in every aspect of that business. Well, I know that this investment makes you, I think, one of the largest minority business owners in North and South America in the cannabis space. So can you pinpoint when you kind of first became interested? Was it when you heard doctors talking about it for your family's appetite, or was there a time when you thought maybe this could just be a worthwhile investment?
So actually the firm that I own, Isaiah International, in one of my, my son, my daughters, they're in the space with me. And my son actually was the one who was, saying, "Dad, as a company, we should look into, cannabis." And I was one, a former athlete, saying, "No, I don't think this is something that, a space that we want to venture into." Mm. Also, there was, heavy drug use that's been documented, in terms of my brothers with cocaine and heroin. And so, the plant had gotten such a bad rap in terms of gateway drug and everything else. And being a former athlete, I wasn't there mentally. Mm-hmm. But my son and my daughter was like, you really should do some more research around this. And they were the ones that were, kind of pushing us from a company perspective to move into this space. They being a lot younger than myself and your generation, really have more knowledge about the plant, was also doing more research around the plant. My generation basically was scared away from the plant. But now, your generation has brought it back. And not only have you brought it back, but now there's been a great industry created around it. And not only is it the right time, but it seems that Mother Earth is calling for this time now. Mm. It's in need of the hemp plant. It's in need of cannabis in terms of how it restores, how it works within your body, how it alleviates pain, inflammation. And they're finding all kind of different ways that, CBD, CBG, CBN kind of works with your receptors inside your body. So it's an old industry, but it's a new emerging industry from a business standpoint that we wanted to look into. And that's why we, I took the reins as CEO of One World Farmer, vice chairman, CEO. And then after doing a lot of due diligence inside the company and understanding what the opportunity was that we had in the space, thus we made the investment into the company to give it a little bit more infrastructure and to secure our position in Colombia where we can grow the best cannabis and hemp and then give it to our customers at the lowest price.
And so what was it about One World Pharma that kind of differentiated it from maybe other companies who I'm sure were seeking your investment?
Well, the four seed licenses that we have at One World Pharma gives us the ability for THC, low THC, high THC, also lets us export and as we're starting out to build our extraction facilities in Colombia. Colombia is one of the U.S. Biggest trading partners in the Americas. And then just geographically where it sits, being able to move off into the international space. My firm is called Isaiah International because most of the business that I do, a great majority of it, is outside of the U.S. So having this position where we're uniquely situated in the Americas, that we can go all the way from Colombia, Brazil, into Canada, into the U.S. So having this position and then being the only African American that's the CEO of a publicly traded company, an OTC right now in this space, also is pretty unique also. So we being a raw materials ingredients provider, where we look at the amount of land that we have access to in Colombia, we have close to 1 million acres that we can farm on and grow through our agreement with Fedecor, gives us a really unique opportunity to intersect and interface with every industry in the world right now, whether it be food and beverages, packaging, recreational use, medical use, the hemp and cannabis plant can play in all those spaces. And we have the supply to meet the demand of every industry that's trying to reduce its carbon footprint and also trying to become healthier.
Wow, that's huge. Yeah, I hadn't considered what global implications it would have, especially given that location. I think that's marvelous to hear. And especially that you're so passionate about it, given that you were kind of a hard sell, it sounds like.
Yeah, I was a hard sell. But again, you know, the one thing that you can't, you really can't go against is the science.
Yeah.
You know, and when you look at the science, forget the rumors and the bad stories and the gossip. When you look at the science around the plant, and when you look at the science around nature, it's hard to dispute, and it's hard to argue with Mother Nature. It's hard to argue with the science in terms of how the plant works with our body.
The NFL just recently launched a large research study into the effect of cannabinoids on athletes' bodies and how it might be incorporated into recovery rather than the opioids that are often prescribed or suggested now. As a former player and a coach, do you think there's a place for cannabis in sports, be it for recovery or recreation?
Absolutely. From a recreational standpoint, I would advise against that. But from a recovery and reduction of pain and inflammation, that's what we deal with on the daily. We deal with how can we reduce inflammation and how can we get better sleep? And, you know, the plant has scientifically been proven to work in those two areas where, from an athlete standpoint, if you can reduce inflammation, reduce pain, and get better sleep, it definitely will help your performance out on the floor.
I can appreciate that distinction. And maybe just for those who are listening, because I know a lot of people, like you said, aren't, you know, have heard so many decades of negativity around the plant, and maybe they're seeing their kids, you know, express more interest or try to talk to them about its benefits. You mentioned maybe advise against recreational use for athletes. And I think it's important to touch on why that might be. Why do you think maybe that's something that they shouldn't embrace fully if they're as a professional athlete?
Well, I just think that, you know, overuse of anything, overindulgence in anything is not a good thing. And, you know, the recreational side, depending on, you know, what it's used for and what you're doing at that particular time, you know, if you don't want to go too far, because, again, like anything, you know, if you have too much of a good thing, it turns into a bad thing.
I think that's accurate. I like to try to provide some balance. And so I appreciate you, you know, being transparent about your views on it, because I think we can talk so much about its benefits. And I don't like to shy away entirely from, you know, the fact that it should be moderated, I think, to each his own. But I appreciate you sharing your thoughts on it. Is Isaiah International working on any other new projects you'd like to share with us?
Later on today or possibly tomorrow, we just inhaled, a ticketing company that works with the secondary ticket market. And this is on the sports and entertainment side. So, you know, that announcement will be coming out later today, and you know we'll be working with the StubHubs and the Ticketmasters. But that, again, that's another part of the company that, you know, I have to pay attention to. But on the hemp and the cannabis side, we're working with a lot of the major players in the auto industry, again, that are looking to reduce their carbon footprint, looking at ways to interact with hemp in the new infrastructure bill that's being passed. Mm-hmm. So we're, as a company, One World Farmer, we're well positioned. We have the supply to meet the demand. We have the scientists. And most important of all, again, as we started this conversation, we have the equatorial benefits of not having to pay for indoor energy, not having to buy real estate to grow, not having to do things artificially inside. We get free sun. We have the land. So therefore, we're able to do it at a much more economical price that we can pass those savings on to the customer. So we're not using a lot of energy off the electrical grid. All of our energy comes from the sun. And again, this is what the equatorial benefits provide. Colombia is expected to provide 44% of cannabis and hemp to the world, again, because of its geographical location and how cannabis and hemp is grown in that area. And that's only because of the sun, the soil, and the indigenous workers that we have partnered with.
I so appreciate that you're mindful of that, especially given the reach, it sounds like, One World Pharma will have in the market. It's awesome that you're thinking about how to be sustainable and utilize the resources in a way that's efficient. So that's great.
No, 100%. We're ESG company, and that's our focus in terms of the social impact, the environment, and our corporate governance. Those are the things that we focus on and that we adhere to.
That's awesome. I'm so thankful for that. I think more companies are going to have to really focus on that if the industry is going to grow in a healthy way. And I think especially as federal and global entities start to kind of embrace it, I don't see that there will be a lot of room for alternatives that aren't thinking about those factors.
I agree.
Yeah. How do you kind of envision the future for the cannabis space?
I see it as an emergent space that will be a mainstay in every industry. Because you're working with Mother Nature, and what the earth and what the environment is calling on and is calling for is they want real, authentic products back into play. And the things that come out of the ground, the things that come out of Mother Nature's soil, are the things that all industries, I think, will start moving back towards to. And the more and the quicker we move back to Mother Earth, the quicker we clean up our environment and make it a more safer and sustainable place to live. And we won't necessarily have to be looking for other planets to go to, thinking that this one is going to die pretty soon.
I can appreciate that. Yeah, that would be wonderful. Where can our listeners find out more about what you're working on, Isaiah?
You can always go to, you can always visit our company website, Isaiah International. That gives you a full scope of the four or five companies that we have. Isaiah International is a holding company. Our specialty is startups and turnarounds. And we have three or four companies that we're pretty excited about in terms of birthing into the next phase of business. And you can also find me on Twitter, Instagram, and it's simply Isaiah Thomas.
Sure. Lastly, I'll ask, is there anything maybe you'd like to touch on that we didn't hit on today?
No, you asked really good questions. Part of being a good interviewer is to ask the right questions. So you asked all the right questions and you got all the information out of me.
All right. Sweet. Well, I really appreciate your perspectives. And I'm hoping that more and more people will start to embrace that ideology of the benefits, the science, and the potential it has to help the world instead of hurt it. So I'm so glad you shared that with us. For all of our listeners, if you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to follow us on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And check out our spring issue. It's now available on newsstands, digital, and at Barnes & Noble. And until next time, I appreciate you, Mr. Thomas, and thanks for joining us. I guess for now, this is Patricia Miller from Cannabis and Tech Today, and Mr. Isaiah Thomas, signing off.
Today's episode of Cannabis and Tech Talks is brought to you by Cirna. Designing a cultivation facility can be challenging and overwhelming. You have a lot of things to worry about, and your cultivation climate shouldn't be one of them. Cirna's team of experienced licensed engineers provide stamped MEP designs to help achieve goals uniquely catered to your facility. Go to Cirna.com today to start planning your ideal cannabis climate. That's Surna.com. We'll be right back.